Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at Menards.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. I hope you're having a lovely, lovely start to your week. I just wanted to give you a bit of an insight to my week last week. Last week was London Climate Action Week, and we run a really, really big event called the People Environment Achievement Awards, which was on Monday the 22nd, which was last Monday. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of the amazing winners of this particular award ceremony. It's an award ceremony. I mean, firstly, we brought some humour to sustainability because our presenter this year was a great, great comedian called Stuart Goldsmith, who is a climate comedian, which I'm going to get him on the show soon, hopefully. So that'll be good. But it's really an opportunity for us to celebrate green heroes from the UK and beyond that have been recognised and celebrated for their achievements. It was at the beautiful One Marylebone event space, which is it used to be a church, and it's now been converted into this really stunning event space with beautiful stained glass windows and a big altar and gorgeous pillars, and it was absolutely fabulous. So the awards, they are now in their 16th year, and they attract, you know, leading lights from the sustainability sector, and we're an official part of Europe's largest citywide climate festival, London Climate Action Week. And this year's guests were treated to speeches from the chair of Natural England, Tony Juniper, who's one of the UK's best loved environmentalists. He used to be the editor of our My Green Pod magazine until Katie took over. And then we also had Joe Rajapaksa, who is a 12-year-old climate campaigner who was the winner of our Youth Award last year. And finally, we also had the amazing Tenzin Selden. She's an established global leader and founder and venture capitalist with over 2 decades experience in scaling climate technologies. She delivered the keynote speech. She shared a new framework that incorporates ecological, social and economic resilience into measures of national progress. So it was a really, really wonderful award. We have categories. We had a Lifetime Achievement and Best of Year Award, Climate Pioneer Award, Community Award, Culture Award, Energy Award. What else? Let me think. Evolution of Sustainability, Health and Wellbeing Award, the Indigenous Communities Award, an Innovator Award, Nature, Shopping, Technology, Travel and Youth. So they're all the awards. Now, if you're interested, excuse me, in finding out who were the winners of this year's awards, you can go to mygreenpod.com, check out our website. There's loads of news stories there, amazing, amazing news stories. My lovely wife and editor-in-chief, she writes a news story every single day. And if you also want to subscribe to our magazine, we have 5 of them that go out a year. International Women's Day in March. We have April the 22nd, which is Earth Day. June the 5th, which is World Environment Day. Then we do Organic September, and then we do a COP issue, Conference of Parties for the Climate Crisis, which happens every year. So they're all the magazines. So you can go to mygreenpod.com. You can sign up to get our newsletters and a free version of the magazine. And yeah, I mean, that's the place. If you want to live sustainably and be a solution to perhaps humanity's greatest issue of our time, then that's the place to get clued up. So that brings me very nicely onto, I guess it's part two of today's guest. Today's guest we had on literally a couple of weeks ago, and she invited me onto their podcast, which is the Love, Peace, Harmony Foundation's podcast. And we had such a wonderful chat. I'm hoping I'll be able to share that with you soon. But we got chatting at the very end, and I was surrounded by, firstly our guest and then two other women. And I was just thinking, why are we not addressing this massive issue that we have in our society today, where most of the big, big, big decisions are made by men? And it got me thinking about the divine feminine and the feminine energy, and the principles of feminine decision making. And we got chatting about it, and I thought, you know what? Let's hold this conversation. Let's do it on the radio. So I invited her back to come and join me today. So today we have again with us Alexia Sito, who is firstly just an amazing individual in her own right, but secondly is one of the leads at Love, Peace, Harmony Foundation. So Alexia, welcome back to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me, Jarvis.
Not at all. So Alexia, just so you know, is normally based in Canada or the States. I think Canada is your main place of work and joy, but she happens to be in the UK, so I thought this is a great opportunity for me to just get her back on the show.
Oh my
She
gosh,
is actually on the
it is.
road. I was just
Yes.
going to say, you're on the road today. So if you're in an environment that may pick up a little bit of background noise, if it does, don't worry about it. It's not an issue. It's just the only way we were able to grab Alexia onto the show today. So Alexia, let's just tell me a little bit about the, because I remember when I mentioned, oh, let's talk about the divine feminine or feminine principle, and you said to me, the first thing you turned around to me and you said, that is the subject that I'm most passionate about. So tell me a little bit about your connection with the conversation that we're going to be having today.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you, Jarvis. And it was awesome to see you at the PEA Awards. It was an amazing night. I love meeting Katie and just the entire community. It was so powerful. And I just think it's so funny that we're having this topic on your show as I'm sitting in the middle of essentially a gentleman's club in London. It's just to me so comical. Somehow I got pulled into a meeting here, and it's like these big oil paintings on the wall, and like, this rich history, and it's just absolutely comical, so and ironic. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. And yes, it is a deep love and affinity, and I feel like almost an accountability responsibility, like as a woman.
Just tell us a little bit more about what the divine feminine is to you. What is the feminine principled way of being? How would you describe it?
Yes, I think I'm back now. Could you
You
repeat
are.
that?
Yeah, I was just saying, just describe to me what the divine feminine and the feminine principled way of being is for you. What does that mean to you?
Yes, well, for me, it comes back to nature. It comes back to when you look at nature, there's a reason so many people say Mother Earth. We receive those bags at the PEA Awards, and it says, "Love your mother." So there's this very maternal nature and quality, but also this incredible strength and fierceness. And when you just look at nature, you look at, for example, water, which is incredibly connected to the feminine. Water can be in the structure of ice, it can be hard, it can be cold. cold. Water can be calm, like a lake or a river. Water can be in the form of a tsunami and wipe out entire civilizations. Water can be used like a gentle mist. So it's a very flexible, malleable, loving, nurturing, humble, and yet incredibly fierce, strong, and powerful force. And I feel like those are very many qualities of the feminine.
Thank you for mentioning those, and I think that you're absolutely right. These are all what I would describe also to be femininely principled qualities. And I think the important thing to for us to recognize is, and the reason why I wanted to have this conversation between a man and a woman is, these feminine principles or qualities or ways of being are not defined to women and women only. I think we find a lot of these ways of being in within men as well. And what I feel like this conversation is hopefully going to lead to is, how do we bring balance back to the masculine and the feminine within each of us, right? Yeah, we're born into a male or female body, but we are, if you believe what we believe, I think is we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and therefore the body is the vehicle that we've chosen to live consciousness through, or live that human experience through. So let's not discount the masculine. We're not being negative at all towards the masculine, but this conversation is going to be principally about, what those feminine ways of being are, why they're missing in today's society, how can we begin to embody those within ourselves. And let's start with that, Alexia. So just give us a little bit of background on you for those people that may not have caught up with the show where you're on before. Just give us a bit of background history, and then if anybody wants a deeper dive on you and your story, they can go back to the show that was on a couple of weeks ago. What do we need to know about you that gives us the assurance that you have something to say on this subject, apart from the fact that you're a lovely woman?
Yeah. Well, first, I want to say thank you for mentioning that. And that's exactly it, is that we have the divine masculine and the divine feminine within all of us. And I think that's really important. And there's a lot more to say about that. But to answer your question, I would say that this is something that I think every living being could have something to say about. We all have a voice. We all have a message and a reason. Professionally, like I'm a spokesperson for a world-renowned healer, Dr. and Master Zhigong Sha. I'm one of his leading teachers. I've studied his teachings for the last 10 years and practiced them in my own life and have gone through significant personal transformations deeply within these subject areas. And I think, even though it may not be credible on paper, just by virtue of, being a human and having this experience and going through all of the ebbs and flows and changes, like I could go listing and sharing all these trainings I've had with different healers and mentors, and having studied the divine feminine, having practiced different yogic traditions or shamanic traditions or the spiritual paths that I've walked with Master Shah, with other teachers before. But I feel like probably one of the most transformative things that I've been through on this topic is just day-to-day life and the simplicity of raising and growing awareness in those interactions. And that's something that I'm very passionate about, is also imparting and that wisdom and sharing these experiences with next generations, and also learning from those generations so that we can continue to discover what these aspects are within us, so we continue to align them and balance and harmonize them as one, as they are, and bring that forth to the planet, bring that forth to those around us, to bring that harmony and to bring that cohesion and that oneness.
Nice, nice. And what I'm hearing is that you've essentially embarked on a journey that has helped you either to strengthen particular qualities, and possibly even develop other qualities that give you, I don't know, extra tools in your kit to live life in the way that you want to live it. Is that right? Well, just define for me some of those qualities that you feel have been a benefit in your learnings and in your findings.
Well, I can speak to some, I think, relevant to this conversation. For example, one of them would be being raised in a female body, just like men, or, we can go into different genders. We all, many of us, experience labels. We experience stigmas or conditions or expectations based on what their societal norms are or cultural norms, depending on where we were raised. There's so many layers, like it's infinite. But just as an example, and I've shared this on my Instagram in a talk, there was a study done on young boys and young girls, and they looked at what they were being told when they were under the age of 5. And just by simply going into a Walmart or a Target or whatever the equivalent is, TJ Maxx or TK Maxx, for example, looking at kids' clothing, you'll notice the young girls, it's always bunnies and flowers and fluffy things and soft things and these beautiful, cute. Everything is very cute. Everything is very, these bunnies are very calm, cute animals, little puppies, very calm. But a lot of the young boys, they're sharks, they're tigers, they're strong, they're ferocious, they're courageous. So even by virtue of something as simple as that, already, we're being programmed to understand that what is a feminine quality is XYZ, is soft and timid and quiet. And what is masculine is loud and strong and courageous. And so immediately, we may unconsciously or subconsciously start receiving these messages. So without even my own consciousness being connected to this, I'm already thinking that's what I need to be, and not even consciously, just subconsciously. So as an adult, those are the types of qualities that I begin to associate with being feminine, where I may have not been taught that it's okay to stand up, it's okay to speak my truth. And many leaders, many women have spoken about this, the BITCH word, things like this that you may be called by virtue of just simply being in a work environment and speaking up. Whereas if a male counterpart may do that, it may not even be looked at twice. It may just be looked at, oh wow, they're really, taking control of this meeting, or they're very, being very powerful. So there's this whole notion, and again, these are not male or female, but by being in a male or a female body, we naturally, in this third dimension human world, have experienced certain projections like that.
I think that's really well put. And actually, that really does lay the context for the conversation, because what we perhaps need to do as a society, or could consider doing, upon invitation, is actually exploring the true nature of beingness and the integration of that yin yang, that balanced principle. But before we do that, we're just going to have to very quickly go to a commercial break. But don't go away. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what my AI has said about the divine feminine. And then we're going to dig in a little bit deeper about how we perhaps can reconnect with this quality, in order for us to evolve as a species. So don't go away. We'll be back shortly.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So Alexia, I happen to use AI for business occasionally, for helping me write reports and stuff like that. And I rarely use it for content that's personal to me, but I've started to just inquire. And I put into my the chat the sorry not chat the AI that I use, and I said, "What would you say are the qualities of the divine feminine?" It said this: which I think is really interesting. Excuse me. The divine feminine is an archetypal concept that shows up across mythology, spirituality, and deep psychology. So there's no single authoritative list, but the qualities most commonly associated with it cluster around a few themes. Tell me if you agree with these. At its heart is receptivity and intuition, a way of knowing that's felt and sensed rather than reasoned out, trusting the body and inner voice over pure logic. Closely tied to this is nurturing and compassion, the impulse to care for, hold space, and tend to others, often imagined through the mother archetype, which you mentioned. There's then creation and fertility. Not just literal birth, but creativity in the broad sense, bringing ideas, life, and beauty into being. Many traditions link the feminine to cyclical wisdom and attunement to natural rhythms, seasons, the moon, birth, and death, and renewal rather than linear progress. And it says other recurring qualities include emotional depth and the willingness to feel fully. Surrender and flow, an ability to yield rather than force or control, connection and relationship, valuing interdependence over isolation, and a grounding in the earth and the sensory world. Some also emphasize a fierce or protective side, the goddess who destroys to protect, like Kali. We're supposed to be in the Kali Yuga time at the moment. So it's not purely soft or passive. It also says, and this is the last bit, a few things worth holding lightly. These are symbolic and archetypal rather than claims about actual women or men. Most frameworks, Jungian psychology especially, hold that everyone carries both feminine and masculine energies, regardless of gender, and that wholeness comes from balancing them. And then it goes on to say stuff that it doesn't matter. But what do you think to that, Alexia? So it's pretty on point in the sense of how I understand the feminine, divine feminine to be. What would you say?
Oh yeah, I love it. This is why I love AI. They just it just like takes everything and just makes it very powerful and well succinct. And I would resonate with this. And I love that you summed it up, sharing about the yin yang and Jung philosophy, and that, these elements are within all of us. And I think one thing that it really speaks to and what you're sharing is that we all have divine qualities. We all have these capabilities of aligning with the divine, of aligning with a higher power, with a higher source, with that which is greater than us in this third dimension human body. And I feel like ultimately, when we talk about these qualities, like the divine masculine, the divine feminine, we're talking about these higher qualities that we as human beings carry, that we have the capacity to embody, to bring forth, to speak, think, act in these ways to actually create this new yuga, this era of, for example, Dr. Master Shah, founder of Love, Peace, Harmony, he calls it the soul light era, the era of enlightenment, the era of the soul light. And so there are many people who call it the golden age, that call it the Aquarian age. I had a conversation yesterday with Abuela and Alejandra in this incredible fire walking ceremony led by these incredibly powerful women, as we're walking on these embers of fire, speaking about the cycles. And these indigenous elders are sharing about how we're in this entering this entirely new cycle. Many people talk about this transition we are in. So we're in this incredible era on Mother Earth where we're tuning into these qualities, and both the divine feminine and masculine also have, like you shared, and Jung talks a lot about this, the shadow side. So bringing in those higher qualities to actually elevate ourselves, elevate our feminine and masculine, and elevate all of humanity and the planet.
Very nice, very nice. I think this would be a really good moment to play our first song. What do you think? Is
I
this
love
just.
that.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. So, tell us the song we're going to play and why you've chosen it.
Well, Love, Peace, and Harmony. Anytime I'm asked to share a song, immediately it's the first, because this is a sacred mantra for healing, for transformation, for enlightenment. So This is a song that was received by Dr. and Master Shah 22 years ago while walking in the Redwood Forest. And this is for healing for humanity, for Mother Earth. And so it's a perfect song to awaken those divine natures within us. And so I invite everyone to just close your eyes if you're able, and just open your heart and soul. Let your mind go and just receive the frequencies, the vibrations that come through this incredible song. You can even make a request if you have anything in your life you want to make a request for, and just enjoy.
Always makes me feel so relaxed hearing that song. I've heard it more in the last couple of weeks than I have ever, and I'm certainly going to build that into my weekly repertoire of giving some time back to me. So thank you again, Alexia, for bringing that just such an amazing song. It is available, isn't it, that song on the Love Peace Harmony Foundation.org website? Is that correct?
Yes, it's downloadable. You can get a copy of it and listen as much as you like. And this is a beautiful way I find to just activate, nourish that divine nature within and just receive.
I agree. I agree. So, okay. So let's talk about what the kind of, the deeper conversation that we were getting into, which has stimulated this radio show. It's that, how can we integrate the feminine into society more? How can we, take responsibility for the fact that we are probably out of balance in our decision-making processes that lead to, the ecological disasters that we've got right now. Wellness and health, I think, is a huge one, and that's obviously individual, societal, and planetary. Even wars, I would say that, it's a horrible thing to say, but I think wars is very much built perhaps on off the back of masculine qualities of competitiveness and divisiveness and control and manipulation and greed and, all of those things that are destruction or destructing our societies. But let's talk about this. Let's think about how these feminine principles could be integrated back in society. What I'm also flummoxed about is why there aren't more female leaders. Often when you get a female leader of a country, for example, the recent prime minister or presidency in New Zealand, for example, a wonderful feminine leader, but wasn't able to stay there very long because of the, just the complete imbalance in the way this leadership model is currently working. So lots and lots of open-ended questions there, Alexia, but let's get deeper into this.
Yeah, there's a lot there, and I can't say I have all the answers, but one thing that comes to me when you share this, Jarvis, is, when you think about a matriarchy is not just a female patriarchy. It's an entirely new everything. It's a new system, it's a new way of operating. Everything is new. It's not just taking a feminine quality and plopping it in the middle of this system that's already existing. So it's like putting a circle in a square. So taking for a moment the female and male, the gender out of it, and returning to the masculine, feminine, the qualities of the divine feminine, the nurturing, the protecting, the compassion, the love, the heart, like the care for one another is so critical to this new era of leadership we're looking for. And when we look at the divine qualities of a masculine, all those qualities you just described, they're not only masculine, they're the shadow aspect of the masculine. Because there's also the beautiful aspects of the masculine that are so needed, the also the fierce protector, right? The one who goes out and sees the vulnerable and wants to care for them, wants to nurture them, almost like a mother. And those are the beautiful qualities that we need from the feminine and masculine to rise. And right now, many of our mainstream societies, they value the shadow. They're living in the shadow of control and coercion and taking over. This is what wars are for. These are our resources. This is our land. We must have power. We must, there's greed. But indigenous cultures all over the world have known for eons that's not the way. It's in one with nature. We are nature. We're not taking care of Mother Earth. We are literally a part of Mother Earth. We are one. Like, she's good with or without us. Like, she's gonna be good. But like, indigenous cultures for eons have known this. And so there's so much in the systems that currently exist from such an incredibly structured, like from the foundational standpoint, that would need to shift. But taking it back to us, because we're empowered to make change. So I never like to take it too far out, like the system this, the system that, because ultimately we all have a choice. We all have a way that we can change. So I look within myself and I say, what qualities am I leaning into in my leadership? How am I showing up as a woman? And even if I will share personally as a micro example, when I started getting it, like I, for example, held an executive director role for 3 years for a nonprofit charity. And I learned within that it was so easy to fall into these shadow masculine traits of leadership as a woman, even. Because it was what was valued, it was how I felt I could be heard, it was how I felt, I would get respect. And that didn't happen for long, but I observed myself in that process. And I imagine many other women in leadership positions experience that. And in fact, just getting ready for this as an example, or people with feminine qualities experience that, men as well, who are maybe more of that nature. And I was looking up, for example, C-suite, so really high executive positions that are decision-making positions in the private sector. It was between 5% and 11% women. Is so small. And it's such a small percentage when you look at parliaments around the world, country leaders. Like, we're nowhere near that 50% to have that balance. Even the UN themselves said, in order for us to achieve gender equality, if we're just going to talk about gender for a second, it's takes up to 140 years. If we're going at we're going now, which obviously is not workable. So the reason I share that though is because whoever's stepping into any role of leadership at this point in time, that's what they're up against. How do I embody these qualities and at the same time make change, be heard, move the ball, do what needs to get done, when everyone around me is not valuing that type of leadership?
And I love that. I think that's a really good moment to just slip into the second round of commercial breaks. And then what we can do afterwards, if you have a think about this, Alexia, is let's think about what we can do individually and possibly in groups to nurture or to develop those feminine qualities within us, because there are practices that will do that. So don't go away. We're going to come back and we're going to try and fill our toolkit with some new tools and some new qualities that we can implement into our everyday lives to hopefully bring more balance back to these changing times that we're in.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're here looking at the divine feminine, the yin and the yang. So how to bring the divine feminine ways of being back to a society level so that we live more in harmony and balance. Well, funnily enough, whilst we were on the break, I could tell you what came up for me, Alexia, and we will talk about the qualities and the practices that we can do to nurture the feminine. But something that came up for me is, is there a link between how we dominate nature and how we've sidelined the feminine? And of course, that's an area that I'm very much into. I mean, it's what I live is to try and be a voice for Gaia, for nature, for Mother Nature. But also, what would a more feminine relationship with the earth actually look like in practice? So I just wanted to share some of the things that I do. So firstly, I wake up in the morning, have a cold shower, and I do that just to kind of, awaken me, but also put a little bit of pressure on the body. And then I go and do a practice, and it includes meditation and breathing and omming and some prayer and some chants. And it's called a kriya. It's like an Indian system that has been used for thousands and thousands of years as a practice. And then what I do at the end of that is I give thanks and praise and gratitude to everything that supports life. And of course, that's nature. Of course, that's Mother Nature. If you think about it, every single thing that we wear, eat, sit on, work on, computers, drive to work in, turn the lights on, eat some food, whatever it might be. Every single thing that we use comes from nature, even the horrible stuff, the plastic, the man-made stuff, because that all comes from oil and the fossil fuel industry. So what I try and do, Alexia, is every time I eat, drink, walk, I try and go out in nature, obviously, and sit my derriere on the earth and just kind of have a conversation without words. But more importantly, I always offer thanks and praise to nature for everything that it gives us in order to support life. So there's some of the things that I do. But what else can we do in our lives that might bring balance back to those that are feeling imbalanced in their masculine and feminine energy?
Yeah, I love this question, and I think this is something. First of all, it's so beautiful, your practice and the kriya and the gratitude, which is so huge. And I do, to answer your prequel question, definitely see the synchronicities and feel that there are deep and profound relational qualities between how we treat Mother Earth and this imbalance of the masculine and feminine. Because when we are in touch with our feminine, it is natural to want to nourish, nurture, take care of, conserve, be gra in gratitude, in humility, in presence. This just comes naturally. And so this is so important for humanity to practice. So the gratitude is so key. The awareness, becoming aware of our own being. The first pillar of the Love, Peace, Harmony is I love my heart and soul. Like really tune in and just ask, like, maybe where am I? Do I need more nourishment or do I need more care? Maybe I'm pushing myself too hard. Maybe I need more rest. We've a lot of times idolize busyness and we idolize stress to a point where it's almost like glamorized to be constantly busy and in a stressful state. And then we almost look at rest as like lazy and then feel guilty for resting. And it's like,
I think this is a really important bit to pull out because I agree with you. I think that what the way that we've been born into society, it's given us an addiction to having a relationship with everything on the outside of us. So, we have a relationship with our parents, and then we go to school, and then we go to work, and everything is based on the open eye relationship. And actually, what I've begun to understand is, and it's what you're saying, is actually there's a relationship to have on the inside of us. You know, that closed eyes, peaceful state where you're focusing on, you, on me, and and that I think is completely out of balance. I would say probably 95% addicted to the outside world, and most people only have a 5% connection with the inner world. That's why we need to sleep, right? To bring that relationship back. But unfortunately, then it's an unconscious relationship because we are going into the sleep mode. So thank you for saying that. What else? What else? What can we do? What can people do in their activities in order to practice the nurturing of the feminine?
Well, to use, for example, Master Shah's wisdom and teachings and apply it in this way, he teaches the power of soul. So, if for a moment, and if you want to think of that from a more scientific way, the power of information. So, the information in our vibrational field is very important. So, in order to bring things back into harmony, let's just say for a moment, yin and yang. We all have yin and yang. This is ancient 5,000-year-old traditional Chinese medicine wisdom. This is ancient wisdom for many different traditions. So, this concept of yin, yang, and masculine and feminine, we can combine with this power of our vibrational field. And if we do feel like we're out of balance or harmony, we can actually use, for example, you mentioned Kriyas. We can use something like vibrations, chanting, and connecting to that inner world in order to bring it into harmony. So, a very visceral practice that one could do in this moment is just close your eyes, put one hand on your lower abdomen, put one hand on your heart, and really just tune in for a moment into that inner world. For example, you may be in a busy environment, you may be in a quiet environment, it doesn't matter. Just take those few minutes and just breathe natural. However, your breathing is perfect. Just make sure it's deep into the belly and feel your feet flat on the floor beneath you. Feel the vibration of Mother Earth. Feel the crown of your head connecting to the heavens. In ancient indigenous traditions, many people say Mother Earth, Father Heaven. So there's the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang, the alpha and the omega. So just take that moment to just feel the connection to the cosmos, to Mother Earth, to outside and to inside. And just tune into the subtle vibrations. And you can use the soul power in this way by simply saying hello. So, dear my masculine, and you can repeat this internally, silently, or even out loud. Dear my divine masculine qualities, dear my divine feminine qualities. Please harmonize. Please balance. Dear my yin and yang of all my information, energy, and physical matter, or you can just say all the yin and yang of my vibrational field. I love you. You have the power to join as one. Do a good job. Thank you.
Lovely. I love that. It was fabulous. It brought a nice smile to my face. Thank you
Yeah.
very much. There's a mudra as well. And I love that practice and I hope people go back. Remember, you can listen to this show on demand. So it's always available after it's live show. You just go to the UK Health Radio website, and you can actually re-listen to any of the shows that have been on before. So do that. There's also a mudra, which is very simple to apparently bring balance back to the masculine and feminine, which is just taking you putting your hands in prayer position, so basically palm on palm, crossing the left thumb over the right thumb, and just holding that mudra, that prayer position, in front of your heart and breathing. Apparently, yogic science says that that actually brings balance back to the masculine and feminine. And then, if you are able to sit full lotus, which is where you're sitting down with both heels interlocked, if you like, into the groin area, one on top of the other, that also brings balance back to the masculine and the feminine, which is why yogis, for ages, have been seen sitting in that what's described as the full lotus position. So, just sharing those bits of kit as well that you can possibly use. Alexia, I really, really want to get your next song in, because it feels like this would be a beautiful moment. So, those of you that want to bring balance and harmony back, you can go into the prayer position, and maybe you can listen to this song in a prayerful position, bringing balance of your masculine and feminine back. That'd be quite a nice thing to do. Anyway, what's the song we're going to play, Alexia?
Perfect. Well, this was the first song that came to me, and it's a beautiful song, by probably a little bit, I guess you could say, like a up and coming artist or indie artist. Like a, she's amazing, and it's called In Your Bones, and it's my wish for everyone.
Love it, In Your Bones. What a fabulous song. I have not heard that before, but it is really lovely. In Your Bones. I'm going to be playing that more often, absolute sure. Alexia, we've only got 5 minutes left, so just want to give you a last question, if I may. Are you hopeful? And where do you see the feminine quietly returning, in wellness and in restoration work, younger generations? Where do you see it alive?
Oh my gosh, I am beyond hopeful. She is here. She is here and she is fierce. So she's like, it's there's no turning back. Like she like the like it is time, whether you like it or not. It's like so just buckle up, people. Like, you know, it's just you're either with it or you're either like you're driving the bus or you're on the like you're it's happening. So
Yeah.
it's like it's here. She's here. You know, it's just amazing. I've seen so many incredible communities and young women. Like, I want to share one example. This young woman I met, just out and about. It was she's probably about seven. This young girl, she's with her mom, and I was just chatting. And I always like to say something like trying, like empowering or inspirational. Something I said something like, "You are so wise. You know, you're so intelligent. Look at you, something, something." She was very confident in the way she spoke, and she's like, "Yeah, I know." Da, 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 da. And she just, and I was like, yes, girl, that is the vibe. So I just, in that moment, I realized, you know what? It's so funny. Sometimes us adults, we think we know, or we think we have these words of wisdom. And then these, you know, the next generation, they just come out and they're like, yeah, I came here knowing this. Like, get with the program. And so I just feel in my heart, like, our world is in such good hands. The next generations, these young people, they are so wise. They know so, like, they have the answers. And it really is the time. It is the divine feminine rising. It is happening. She is here, and it will just continue. I love
Yeah, I love
it.
it, love it, love it, love it. That's brilliant. And I agree with you that some of the younger generations, they're clearly born into a completely different era to we were, that, astrologically, cosmologically, information wise, the whole thing. So yeah, let's nurture ourselves and be examples, be the change, so that our young people actually get to experience elders, if you like, actually living what they can live, and feel good about it. So, Alexia, thank you so much. Do go and check out lovepeaceharmonyfoundation.org because that, clearly it's an organization that are doing great things. We're doing a lot of work together now with shout out to Richard Rogers and Alexia. Certainly for our 4 Acres Earth project, we're going to be working very closely with Love Peace Harmony. So this has been amazing and really, really loved it. I hope it's all right with you, but if it's okay, we're going to play out the song In Your Bones again, and that can just play out to the end of the show because I just think it was so lovely. Alexia, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jarvis. I loved this conversation. I know we could keep talking so much about this topic, and I'm excited to just continue witnessing it. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and just all that you do to further this message. And I
You're
love this
like
song too. It's so powerful.
Yeah, you're most welcome. This is In Your Bones. We'll see you all next week. Have a lovely week. Alexia, thank you.